This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. After a year of speculative polls and pundits who could say anything because it was all guessing, the 2016 campaign, you might say, has finally officially begun. A year ago, no one was saying that Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders would be the easy winners of the New Hampshire primary, but that's what happened. It was a poor performance for Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. Ohio Governor John Kasich scored a distant second, but he beat out the rest of the governors in the field. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick is in New Hampshire live. Todd, what do you make of these results?
John, an absolutely huge victory for Bernie Sanders. There's no doubt about it. There's going to be a huge question whether he can take this momentum into the South and into Nevada, where Hillary Clinton is going to be strong with union members and minority voters. Sanders hasn't faced them yet. On the Republican side, a huge win for Trump, 35%, more than doubling anyone else in the field. You said John Kasich was second, and he poured everything into New Hampshire, more than 100 town halls. It's hard to see what his appeal is beyond New Hampshire because he hasn't been anywhere except for New Hampshire. And let's not forget about Jeb Bush, Governor Jeb Bush of Florida, fourth place, but at least respectable, and thinks that he has at least a reason to continue now.
So those folks may move on. Younger voters, very important both in this contest and in the contests that are coming up. What do you think of the importance of young voters, Todd?
Well, John, both Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders trounced the competition with first-time voters. It was really amazing. Bernie Sanders grabbed more than 80% of voters between 18 and 29 years old. Now, Hillary Clinton herself acknowledged this. Last night, she told her supporters that she has a lot of work to do with young people. Well, I've been spending some time with first-time voters here, not all of them, 18, by the way, to see what's driving them to the polls.
Together, we have sent the message that will echo from Wall Street to Washington, from Maine to California.
That's Bernie Sanders reveling in his more than 20-point win over Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire last night. It may not seem like it at first, but in a lot of ways, it all goes back to here. This is the student center at New Hampshire Technical Institute. It's a community college in Concord. NHTI is just one of a large network of community colleges in New Hampshire, a network the candidates discovered in a big way over the last year. Cassidy Brennan is 20. She's an environmental student and active in the campus's voter registration drive.
Off the top of my head, I remember Lindsey Graham came at one point. I believe Martin O'Malley came. I know Hillary came at one point. That was a little bit bigger deal because her family's been in politics more, so people know the name.
Community colleges were all over the candidates' schedules running up to Tuesday. Campaigns have figured out that first-time voters are key to victory here, and that the crowd you can bring out to a community college rally isn't likely to be students from some other state. Chances are they vote close by, right here in New Hampshire.
Is that in your graveyard?
Yes.
Remove a card in your graveyard from the game.
Okay.
Go.
Over on one side of the room, about 10 students circle around a table for a game of Magic the Gathering. And for almost everyone here, business means Bernie Sanders. Here's Katrina Joseph. She's 21, and she's a first-time voter.
You gotta feel that burn, man. Voting is important because, if you don't vote, you're actually helping the people that you don't want in office. You also have to be mindful of the candidate that you pick, too.
I just don't really care. It's all my country. If this goes wrong, I can just go home.
That last guy is Michael Pitt. He's 19 and a dual U.S.-British citizen. He could vote.
But I don't really follow politics enough to actually make an informed decision, and I'm too lazy to follow politics to make an informed decision, so I don't really vote.
Michael's not really interested, but in that respect, he was alone at that table. And there are fewer and fewer students like him. That's according to Stu Wallace, a history instructor at NHTI, who teaches a course on New Hampshire's first-in-the-nation primary.
Students here are signing up right and left to vote because they are inspired. And even if a Bernie Sanders or any other candidate can't do all of the things they say they're going to do, so what? They're trying to do something. The Sanders effect is to get people in for the first time, to inspire them, and that is similar to the Obama effect.
Wallace thinks it's a myth that young students flock to Sanders just because of his promise of free public college tuition. He says they know they'll be out of school already, if and when that ever becomes a reality.
One of the things I say to students is, you're 18, you can vote. When I was 18, I couldn't vote, and I wound up going to war. So get out there and vote. I thought it being able to vote at 18 was great, but I was in Vietnam.
Of course, not all of New Hampshire's first-time voters were students. I found Megan Jansen at a protest of striking fast food workers calling for a $15 minimum wage. Megan has three kids and brings home about $500 per paycheck from her job at KFC.
I have never voted yet because it never affected me before. Up until now, like growing up, I was never told what the difference was between a Democrat and a Republican. And I still don't really know the difference, but I know that my vote will help the impact with everything. So I'm hoping for 15 an hour.
If Megan sounded like a Bernie Sanders vote, even that doesn't mean that all first-time voters fell on the Democratic side.
We are going to start winning again, and we're going to win so much, you are going to be so happy. We are going.
There's Donald Trump celebrating his huge Republican win here on Tuesday night. Trump events in New Hampshire weren't the college fests that Sanders rallies could be, but Trump still dominated the GOP field with people like Muriel LaBrie. She's a 51-year-old retired bartender who I ran into outside of Trump's victory rally last night and who had just voted for the very first time.
I've never, ever gotten into it as much as this until I completely fell in love with Reagan when it was too late. He was already in office.
So you never voted?
No. But he wasn't about the politics. He just went in, kicked ass, didn't, you know, care what people thought. People hated him, they loved him, but they respected him. And that's pretty much what Trump is. And that's, I have the chance now to make it up and vote.
And there's one more quadrennial ritual New Hampshire first-time voters now get to experience with everyone else: watching the campaigns and the media pack up and take off for Nevada and South Carolina. In Concord, New Hampshire, I'm Todd Zwillick for The Takeaway.
The young voter issues actually tell a story that matters a lot to the Republican Party in 2016 as well. If you add in first-time voters and undeclared independents, the Trump juggernaut begins to look like its own insurgency within the GOP. Alex Smith is national chairwoman of the College Republican National Committee, here to discuss the importance of young voters in 2016. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you so much for having me on, John.
It seems like the candidates in the New Hampshire primary were more responsible for bringing new people to the polls than the parties were, per se. What do you think the challenge is here, particularly for the GOP, in getting new voters and young voters to the polls?
Well, I think this shows a really promising sign for the GOP. I mean, we've always been a grassroots, bottom-up party, and we've always known that it's the caucus-goers and primary voters of our party that are going to choose our nominee. So the fact that we have such a diverse array of candidates that's drawing out new people from the electorate, I think, is a net positive for our party.
But it's Donald Trump that's drawing the new people out. It seems almost as though the vote for Trump can be seen as a rejection of the traditional GOP.
Well, I would say that it's the Republican Party that is big enough and strong enough to accommodate this kind of diversity of candidates. I think, by contrast, if you look at the Democrats and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she has done everything she can to put her finger on the scale for Hillary Clinton. The Democratic Party has been the one that's tried to force choices upon their members, whereas the Republican Party has opened its arms wide open to, you know, these candidates out there that are coming from all kinds of different backgrounds.
Although, rather than get into a party versus party discussion, and the Democrats have their own problems, and that's really clear from New Hampshire, this seems to be a general rejection of traditional party organization and traditional party mechanisms for choosing candidates. You can accommodate Trump, certainly, if he says he's a Republican, but having to make him pledge that he won't be an independent voter doesn't give much of a sense that he's a terribly loyal Republican in the traditional GOP sense. You know what I mean?
Well, I would say that the jury's still out in terms of what traditional mechanisms are working and still viable in the 2016 elections and which are not. I think that we've had two very different contests over the last couple of weeks play out. We had the Iowa caucuses and last night the New Hampshire primaries. And in the caucuses, you saw very much that the traditional structure favored the candidate that worked the traditional game, which was Ted Cruz. I mean, he had a data game that was specifically designed around traditional caucus turnout models using demographic data and using new technology to drive out that turnout. Whereas in New Hampshire, perhaps the retail politics and the traditional mechanisms there were sort of upended by Donald Trump and his just absolutely unbelievable campaign where he was able to draw out supporters without having a more traditional ground game. So I think that we're still, I think it's too early to say whether or not traditional mechanisms have seen their last day.
Are you prepared to say today that you would be comfortable with Donald Trump as the nominee for the Republican Party?
Absolutely. You know, I think that the most important thing is having a Republican in the White House in 2016. You know, we've had 8 years of President Obama, and he's been a disaster for our country. And I think that voters are looking for change. They're looking for someone to turn that around. I think the most important thing for the party is beating that Democratic nominee come the fall. We have someone who's under an FBI investigation in Hillary Clinton. We have a socialist in Bernie Sanders. And so I can't think of a time where the stakes were higher. So, you know, I think the party is proudly going to get behind, you know, our nominee, whoever that might be. And I think at this point, it's still a jump ball in a lot of ways. But in our estimation, anything is preferable to the two choices that the Democrats have to offer.
Kasich suggests that a positive message that doesn't include the last 8 years were a complete disaster, as you just suggested, might be more appealing to the centrist sort of voter who is likely to be most decisive in November. What do you think about that?
He is absolutely right. In all of the research that we've done, particularly of young voters are looking for a problem solver. They're looking for someone who isn't afraid to take on the big challenges of today and isn't afraid to be who they say they are. And I think that that's where you're seeing candidates like Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump being rewarded. And also Governor Kasich. I think that there's an authenticity about him that a lot of voters, particularly young voters, are finding appealing. The fact that he was able to bridge the partisan divide while he was in Congress, the fact that he was able to turn around the state of Ohio using bipartisan support within the state, that's all very appealing to younger voters especially. And why do younger voters matter the most in the 2016 elections? Because they decided the 2012 elections, and they're going to do it again in 2016.
Alex Smith, National Chairwoman of the College Republican National Committee. Thanks so much, Alex.
Thank you for having me on.
A first-time voter story from Waxahachie, Texas. The first time I voted was in the 1972 presidential election. The voting age was 21 when I turned 18, so I couldn't vote in 68. I voted for McGovern in 72 because he was more forward-thinking, and I hated Nixon. Jacksonville Beach, Florida. 1984 for Ronald Reagan, who I still believe to be the best president, at least during my lifetime. Safety was a key issue then, and is even more so now.
This is Brittany from Salt Lake City, Utah. The first time I voted for Clinton. I only picked him because my mom hated him. I stand by that decision and still vote for whoever my mother hates.
Share the story of your first time at the polls. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE and leave us a comment at thetakeaway.org. Also coming up, the conversation we started about heroin on Tuesday's program has been fueled by your responses from all over the country. We're looking at solutions. That's next on The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.